If you have a Bible, open up to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And then also want you to turn, if you will, to John chapter 3. The first day we got out was in front of a Walmart. I was in the van and I seen a man coming out of the front of the store. This older gentleman, distinguished looking man. And I noticed something about him. He's a sharp looking guy. And when he come out the front, he had two buggies of groceries. Like he's doing his shopping, maybe three. But he had big buggies full loaded up and a mask on, and he was checking out everybody and didn't want to be around nobody. You know, it was scary. Back then, you didn't want to breathe on anybody or anybody breathe on you. And he's looking for his vehicle, and he heads sideways and goes way down on the end and then circles around to where he doesn't have to go through the cars and stuff. And then there he's headed to his pickup truck. I said, I know where he's going. I'm in the van, and I'm checking out the scenery. And he said, that's that pickup I wanted. You know, the Bible says you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's house, but it doesn't say you can't covet his pickup. Amen? It has to be specific for a guy like me. And I saw that pickup, and I just got jealous. And you ever felt like you? None of y'all ever did that. But, hey, at least I wanted a pickup. I have brains. Amen? And so I saw that, and he said, that's that guy that has that pickup out there, that sharp right by the road. It's parked way out there, like a mile away from the store. And so the Lord said, get him. And by the time I got over there to him, he had already unloaded his groceries. And the pickup, you know, already just started before they get there. The door was open. He was getting in. And I run up to him with the track ready to go. And I said, hey, don't get in that truck. What are you doing getting in that pickup? He said, it's my pickup. And I said, I want to buy it. I've been waiting on for you for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I can't. You own this truck? He said, yeah, obviously. I said, don't you leave. He said, I want to buy it right now, cash on the barrel. I don't know why I said that. I was just making it up as I went along. He said, what? And I said, yeah, man, look at this thing. He said, I thought it. Hey, I started checking out. Look at these tires. Look at these rims, man. These are awesome. He goes, yeah. And I poked my head in the vehicle between him and the, you know, he had the door open. It was already started. And I looked, I said, oh, this is exactly what it's fully loaded, everything. He said, what's the matter with you? And he said, it's not for sale. I said, it'll be for sale when you hear what I'll pay you for. He goes, what are you talking? And then I started cracking up. I said, I'm just kidding. I said, you do have a nice pickup. He said, who are you? And I put something in his hand already. He got it in his hand and I gave it to him. And when I did, he goes, what's this? And he looked at it, and I handed this to him, and he said, oh, you're one of them guys. And I don't think he knew what he had in his hand. And I don't think I realized really what he had in his hand. But he said, I don't do that. He said, you're setting me up. I said, no, I'm just coming over here. I'm Dr. Pickup. I gotta admit, man, this is sharp. And he goes, well, yeah. He said, come on back up. He said, I'm a Catholic, and I'm not trying to say anything. This is what he said. He said, we don't do this. And he made a mistake. He opened up the piece of paper and started looking at it. He shouldn't have done it. And I just sat there, and the Lord said, don't say a word. And he started kind of scanning through there, and he's looking at me, and then he's looking back down. And he said, when COVID hit, he said, I knew there was something about it. I don't know who sent you over here. But when COVID hit, he said, I got scared. He said, I don't wear one of these things. But he said, everybody's wearing them now. He said, there's something in the Bible about it. He said, I don't know what it is. I read all the time, sir. He started opening his heart up to me just like crazy. He said, I read every one of the Harvard Chapel classics. I read constantly. But I've never read my Bible. I never read a Bible. So I went and bought me the nicest Bible I could buy. And I said, there's something about this whole thing in the Bible. Boy, is he right. I just listened. He said, I've been reading it every day for the last 2-3 months. He said, I read chunks of it every day. And he said, now I'm over in the last part. And he said, I'm in a spot called Roman. He didn't call it the book of Romans. He called it a spot called Roman. And he said, I know I'm right on it. He said, I'm reading it this morning before I come to get my groceries this week. And he said, I don't understand it. He said, but I wish somebody could tell me what it means. But I know the answer's right here. And boy, was he ever right. And I said, I'm thinking in my mind, this can't be happening. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. In the Bible, there's a story about this event. I'm an evangelist. I'm not Philip, but I'm an evangelist, God called evangelist. And he went and joined himself to a man's chariot. I think that means pickup truck. That's what I think that means. GMC, God made. Amen. Hey, listen to me now. I'm in trouble now. But he's sitting there and he joins us and this guy is reading Isaiah 53, which is the best chapter you could be reading if you had only the Old Testament. I mean, now we've got the whole New Testament, but back in those days, that's all you had. And he was reading the very place about Jesus and about how to be saved. And he didn't have said, I don't understand. I don't understand except some man showed me and guided me. And he just said that, I don't understand this. Could you help me? And I said, sure can. And I took that track back out of his hand and turned it around. I said, let's look at this again. And I started taking him through scriptures. And that man began to weep. And then the greatest thing happened. I got down to the end. I said, there's five things you got to know. There's one thing you got to do. And I told him what that was. And he said, I want to do it right now. And he got down on his knees beside his pickup truck with his pickup running. And he asked Jesus Christ to save him. And he got up and wiped the tears away. And he had this big old, he's like looking at me. And then he said, man, this feels good. And he took his mask in one fell swoop and just threw it across the pickup. And it hit the side window on the other side and fell. And I thought, this is cool. And now I got to see this big old smile on his face. He looked like he swallowed a banana sideways. And tears are rolling out. He said, man, this feels great. And I said, I know, it feels good to me too. He said, I just did it. He said, I understand now. Amen. And he's got that track in his hand. And I said, can you tell me your name? And I was just going to try to help him, you know. And he said, who sent you over here? Who set me up? I want to know this. And he started getting mad, livid. He said, somebody sent you to me, didn't they? No. He said, I want to know who sent you to my pickup. I said, I'll tell you who did. I got to be honest, it's him. He looked up like he hadn't looked in a long time. He said, oh. He said, my name's Moses. What? I thought I'd heard it all, Brother Eric, but his name is Moses. He's an old man. He's like 11 years, and he's a sharp-looking guy. And he doesn't have a mask on anymore, and he's done with it. He's got a pickup truck. This is Moses. And he said, what? I said, what? He said, yeah, Moses. He said, everybody's laughed at me my whole life. And he said, I never read the Bible because I didn't want... He said, that Moses guy's a pretty good guy in the Bible. I said, you ain't lying. I said, can I shake your hand? I just want to... I said, can I get your autograph? You know, and I wanted to be able to... And we went back to that church that Sunday, and that Sunday night we preached again, and they gave testimonies of people that got saved all that week. And people still do, folks, even though COVID's... Listen... And I said, I saved mine for last. I said, I got to tell this story. But when I finished my message, I told the story about Moses and how he got saved. And I want to tell you today, you may be in here and you may be sitting here and you may have a Bible in your lap and you may listen to the songs. You may have been considering this thing a lot more than you normally would have just lately. And I want to give you today exactly what I gave Moses. Real quick, I just want to tell you, just some stuff out of Romans and out of Revelation. And maybe even something out of John you might have heard before. And just get done. And then we're going to go have fun and get to the house. Amen. Maybe just go get some candy and get in the line and ride the rides and all that. And we'll have a good time. But I want you to hear what I gave Moses. On the inside it says you can be saved and know it. There's five things you got to know real quick. Number one, before a person can get to heaven... Number one, you got to know this. You got to know you're a sinner. And you're not good enough to get there on your own. Listen to me. A lot of you, if you don't get this, you're missed first base. You're never going to get home. But you got to be honest and straight and put 52 cards on the table face up with the Lord. Call a spade, admit what you are. And the Bible's real clear on this. Romans 3:12, it says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. According to the Bible, there's not anybody good. If I went around asking people, you're a good person, almost everybody I talked to would say, oh yeah, I'm good. And they'd give me 15 reasons why. But the Bible said there's none of us good. No, not one. Wonder why he says that? Well, later in the chapter, he tells you. He says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Listen to me. If you was good, you wouldn't sin. If you was good, you wouldn't have done some of the things you've done the last 2 or 3 years, or if you're like me, the last 2 or 3 days. I mess up every day, and I'm not even trying to anymore. But I just find a way to. Hey, listen to me. Listen, according to the Bible, we're sinners, and if you were good, you wouldn't sin. And according to the Bible, you're in trouble because of it. The first thing you got to know before you can ever get to heaven, you got to know you're a sinner. You're not good enough to get to a perfect place. Heaven's perfect. We're not. We might not make it. That's one. Number two, I showed Moses this. Your sins have to be paid for. The Bible says it. He'd been reading it. He'd been seeing it. And our conscience tells us this. But the Bible is very clear. And it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Listen closely. According to the Bible, when you sin, there's wages that come as a result of it. Your wages, you understand that word. It's not too hard to get. Wages means what you get for what you do. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know how you're going to get paid back for sinning when the whole thing's over? You're going to have to die. Have you noticed that everybody keeps having to die at some point? And the Bible goes on in Romans 5:12, it says this. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. It tells you where sin came from. And that man is Adam. It's talking about Adam. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. So according to the Bible, sin comes into the world through a man named Adam. Death comes into the world through a thing called sin. And yet because we all sin, not just Adam and Eve, but every one of us do, we all got to die. So this Bible's real clear. Listen, sin will kill you. Don't do it. What happens if I do? Well, the Bible will give you an answer on that. Sin's going to kill you. And it's real clear that every single person that ever lived on this planet that's alive right now is going to die of the exact same disease. Brother Reed, you lost me right there. I believe what you said till then. So-and-so dies of cancer. So-and-so died in a car wreck. So-and-so died of a heart attack. So-and-so died of old age. You said everybody's going to die of the exact same disease. Yep, in one way they are. Sin is the disease. We catch it on purpose, and it'll kill you. You can't tell me you didn't like it when you did it. But you knew before you did it, there was coming a day. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Isn't that something? That's number two. First, you got to know that you're a sinner. You're not good enough to get to a perfect place. Number two, you got to know that your sins have to be paid for. Death will be the penalty. Number three, here's the third thing. It's not over when you die. It starts. You're going to face a judgment day. What? Oh, yeah. Don't you know this? You ought to know. Listen to me. It's not over when you have people say, well, I'm going to party hardy and do whatever I want to do because he who dies with the most toys wins. And when I die, it's all over. Wrong. When you die, it all starts. Listen to me now. When you die, you're going to run out of time and you're going to run into the Lord. You're going to step out of time and you're going to step into eternity. And you're going to go to court. I know two things about you before I ever met you. I barely know some of your names. But see if I'm not right. I know this. One, I know you're going to die. Number two, I know that don't take a lot of brains to figure out. Number two, I know after you die, you're going to court. I know who your judge is going to be. I was talking to him earlier. I was talking to him before the service started. Listen to me. The Bible tells you what's going to happen. That's what's so amazing about the Bible. You better not line up against it. I mean, you can, but you're going to lose eventually. Because it's the only book in the world that tells you your future and hits it right 100% of the time. What happens at that judgment day? Well, since you ask, it tells you. Turn over to Revelation 20. You're already right there in Revelation 21. Look, Revelation 20, and notice this. There's, according to the Bible, once we die, there's a judgment day. And it says this, Revelation 20, verse 11. And it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. See that? Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. So if we're reading the Bible right, I may have missed something there. Another book was opened, which is a book. When we die, it ain't over. It starts, and we get up there to a judgment day, and we stand in front of God Almighty. He's a judge. We're on trial. And so, like, every time I ever did something, I wasn't said something I wasn't supposed to say, like, for instance, lying, there's record books. Every time I ever lied, cussed, told a dirty joke, you know what Jesus said, Matthew 12:32? Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's scary if you said some things as bad as I have. Now, I know none of you folks here in Wiley, Texas have ever said anything that you shouldn't, but you, so you probably have nothing to worry about, but I've said a mouthful. Our words are going to be judged, every one of them. Our thoughts, what goes through your brain? Think about that. Boy, that's rough. What you look at with your eyes, everything you've ever done. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring thee into judgment with every work, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Wow. Question. How bad would you have to be, Brother Reed, Mr. Reed, before God would sentence you to hell? That's the question. People don't ask. We deal with young people nonstop, half for years, constantly dealing with teenagers. And they never ask about heaven. They ask about hell. They want to know. Where's the line at? If my friend did this, would they go to hell for it? What if they did that? Would that be an automatic ticket to hell? They want to know. They're really not asking about their friend. They're asking about themselves. And what's interesting, the Bible tells you the truth. The truth hurts. It's like somebody said, the truth's like medicine. It may not taste good, but if you'll take it, it'll help you. Listen close. Turn to Revelation 21:8, one verse over, one chapter over. Revelation 21:8. And you may not realize it, but on the last page in the Bible, there's a list of eight different sins. If a person commits one of these eight sins, they automatically go to hell. Uh-oh, I found out I was in the list. Your speaker today. Listen close. You look at this. If you don't have a Bible, look on with the person next to you. They'll let you see it. And if you're sitting next to somebody and they may not have it, brought it just today, let them see this. Look at this verse. It's right in the Bible. You commit one of these sins, you go to hell. And it says the fearful, Revelation 21:8. It's on the last page. If you don't see it on the last page of your Bible, I'll come up here. I'll show it to you. It's on the last page of mine. Look on both sides of the page. It's right there. And it says the fearful will go to hell. That's a coward. Somebody's ashamed of Jesus. The unbelieving will go to hell. Who's that? That's an atheist. Somebody that doesn't believe in God at all. Abominable will go to hell. Who's that? That's like a child molester. That's sick. Next one's murderers. You knew that one would be on the list. I had my kids when they were singing up here. They were doing double duty. I had them check the crowd out. Y'all checked out. Okay. But I had them look across the building to just see y'all, could see your faces, to see if there were any murderers in here. And I'm sorry, y'all are okay, but you passed the test. None of you have the face to be a murderer, okay? So you're good. Now, if you are one, please don't tell me. I'll move real quick and go preach somewhere else. Are you listening? But you think, no, I ain't never killed nobody. So you think you're okay. Look at the next one. Whoremongers. That's not just like the lady of the night. That's the guy that messes with her. This one gets closer to home. The next one, sorcerers. That's like witchcraft, Satanism, devil worship. Look at the next one, idolaters. But oh my, look at the last one. Man, why did he have to put this one in there? Listen to me. Do you notice God always, they say there's seven deadly sins. They don't count right. There's eight. And God always, you notice God always has one more sin on his list than anybody else would that you wouldn't have put on yours. So just in case you get to thinking you're good, he goes, uh-uh. He'll pop your bubble. He'll bring you down. And you'll go down for lying just like he will murder. Did you read that verse? How many of y'all raise your hand and say, I believe the Bible? Okay, put that hand down. Listen to me. You believe the Bible, you got to believe this verse. It's right there at the end. Tells you how it all ends up. And notice that liars go the same place murderers go. Listen close. I mean, you know everybody, but liars go the same place. They're both one of the ten. Everybody's here heard the ten. You probably heard of the ten. Thou shalt not kill. There's your murder one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It means you ain't supposed to say something false with your mouth. That's called lying. Back where I live in Alabama now. But I'm from Texas, and that's what we call it over here, too. Listen to me now. Liars go the same place murderers go. Where would you go if the Bible's true? You see why you need to get saved? Somebody's not just joking. Jesus is the first one that started using that word saved all the time, wasn't he? If you read it, it's back in the Old Testament a little bit, but he's the one that started coining, he almost coined the phrase. You got to get saved. You got to get saved. You got to get saved. Why? He's the Savior. Now listen to him. If we stopped right here, ain't none of us would make it to heaven, would we? We'd all go down. But I'm so glad to tell you this last point I showed old Moses. Hey, you have a perfect substitute, and he took your place at Calvary. Amen. Listen to me. Jesus shows up to save the day. He was born in a little manger Christmas Day. You remember the story? He grew up, lived 33 years, and never sinned one time. They took him. He lived 33 years without sinning. Did you hear what I said? 33 years without sinning. That's some kind of record, isn't it? I can't go 33 minutes or 33 seconds without sinning. Have you ever tried to time yourself? You won't make it very long. Jesus goes 33 years. That's the record. And they take the world takes the best man that ever lives, Jesus, and they make sure he dies. They make sure he dies the worst death in history. Nobody died a worse death. They take him up there and they strip his clothes off of him and they whip him with something worse than a bull whip. Some estimate that he got whipped over 200 times. The Romans would whip one victim, trying to kill him before they got him crucified. They didn't want to waste their time. So they just killed him. He's whipped an inch of his life and blood stripes were all up and down his body. Top to bottom. And then they took a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they beat the thorns into his head. Nice folks. Blood's coming down his face. They take him and blindfold him and play a game called blind man's bluff. And the Roman soldiers punch him in the face. And they slap him. He said, if you're really God, you'd give me my name, rank, and serial number. I don't know how they said it, but tell me my name. And he knew their name. He could see right through the blindfold. But he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's probably praying for you that day, too. Listen to me. He was bruised, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And then they took his beard and ripped it off his face. I can show you the verses in this book right here. It's in your Bible. Listen to me. Blood's pouring out of the bottom of his face. Every Jew had a beard. It's one of the things of Marco, and they ripped it off. Lost his face for you. But they weren't half done. They put a cross on his back and pushed him through what they call the Tyropian Valley. Sometimes they say it's like 2 miles he had to carry that thing. And crazy stuff was happening. People throwing stuff at him and pushing him and shoving him. And he gets up that hill and they nail him to that cross with nails as big as railroad spikes. I mean, big old nails, bigger. And they nailed us through three nails and two pieces of wood. One rugged cross, Jesus built the bridge to heaven. With three nails and two pieces of wood, and with one rugged cross, Jesus built a bridge to heaven. For me. And they nailed him up there, and they hung him up there, and he hung up there like 6 hours. Blood's pouring out fast now. He's hanging on with everything he's got. He's praying. He never sins one time. Never gripes, never complains. And then the last thing they got him rotten, the side, spear in his side. Some people say the last blood that came out of his body came out of his heart. I don't know about that, but sure is close. How would that get me to heaven? I tell you how. Do you know who should have been on that middle cross? Don't say it out loud if you know, but some people know, some don't. You got to get connect the dots. You know who should have been on that middle cross? There's three crosses. Two of them deserved it. Really, all three that deserved it, and the guy took, Jesus took a guy's place. The two guys on the outside definitely deserved to die, but not the guy in the middle. You know who should have been on his cross? Me. Your speaker today. And you, every one of you. The Bible said Christ died for sinners. Question, do you know any sinners that live around here? Oh, that's a loaded question. Anybody who walks on two legs is a sinner. Amen? Listen to me. He died for you. The Bible said God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the people right here in this building. He took your place. He paid your debt. Don't you see? Can't you see what he did? You gotta see it. A lot of people don't get it yet, but you gotta see this. He loves you. And he says, I don't want them to go down. And there's no way they're gonna be able to save themselves. No matter how good they straighten up and live, they're gonna have to pay for those sins in the past. Father, I'll go down and I'll pay it. I'll be their substitute. He had to live a perfect life, or he'd have had to die for his own sins. Are you listening to me? He had to do that first part. Nobody ever qualified to die for somebody else's sin. They had to die for their own. Jesus said, I'll die for them. I'll live the perfect life they should have lived. And I'll take their sins. And he said he carried our sins on his back to the tree. And he reaches into the future, takes all my sins off of me and puts them on his back. All of yours. And the Bible said he died not for our sins, only the sins of the whole world was on his back. How would that get you to heaven? Well, he already took your hell for you. Took the rap and he took the heat. Somehow when Jesus died, all the preachers know it. It's hard to explain it. I believe it. But all the old time preachers preach this. When Jesus died, his body died, but his soul was not left in hell. It says it twice in Acts 2. When all them people got saved, Peter preached it. Neither was his soul left in hell. His body died, but the Bible said the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. How are you going to pay for your sin forever? You better have you a substitute. You better have somebody that'll step up for you. And I can tell you about him. It's Jesus Christ, my Savior. And he wants to save you today. They buried him, and 3 days later he rose again. You can't keep a good man down. There ain't nobody like him. And now he's alive. And right now, while we're here, I don't know if you noticed, there's somebody else in this building besides us. You know who it is? It's Jesus. He's not physically here where you could see him. But he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, which is a real person. And it's called the Spirit of Christ. And he's alive. And he's knocking on your heart and he wants to save you. And if you'll let him, he'll do it. There's 5 things you got to know. There's 1 thing you got to do. What is it? You must now receive him by asking him to save you. What you got to do is receive Jesus Christ. Ask him for a favor. You prayed before. Would you pray and ask Christ to save you?